And you like guys like Obadiah, don't you? Take a stand. And sometimes people do things that nobody else knows. Doing work for the Lord that nobody else is aware of. Here Elijah is. He running for his life. But in the meantime, Obadiah is back there. And even Ahab knows what he's done. And he's still alive. But he's hidden those guys. And, you know, guys, the lesson here is everything you do for the Lord counts. Even if the Lord's the only one who knows that you do it. So, last night I was saying goodbye to Mike Ferguson from Bible Bowl. And he said, "Oh, I'll see you in the morning. I'm spending the night there in Billings." I said, "Oh." He's like, "Hey, how you feeling? You want to?" He's like, "I have a message. I'm kind of burning." I was like, "Okay, well, you want it. You can have at it." So this morning we're gonna get a guest preacher here from Williston. In a second, I'm gonna turn him loose. I know it'll be a great message. For those of you who are thinking about skipping next week, I have a message I'm preaching from Romans, and I already have it prepared because I thought I was preaching this morning, and it's a good one. You don't want to miss it. Okay? It's the mark of Adam or the mark of Christ. Okay? That's an important one. So all right. Had to plug the preacher a little, Mike. Come on up here from Williston, North Dakota, Mike Ferguson. You didn't get the memo about the green today. That's true. There's a story about that. You can turn to Deuteronomy 14. And good morning. This shirt was handpicked by my daughter. I guess she also feels like my wife, that they have the duty to help me dress myself so I am appropriate and appearance is pleasing. thanks. Yeah, don't worry, Mr. Simpson. You started it, and there's notes about you right there. Man, I'm excited to be here, and you know, there's things that are just dear. And this congregation in Billings is dear to me. It's my family. Truthfully, we come here, and you know, there's a part of this that's like coming home. That we get to see people that we've labored alongside, people that have prayed for us, and man, it's an encouragement to us to be here today. Probably one of my favorite things is to come in this building on Lord's Day and assemble with you guys and see people I don't know. That's an encouragement to me. And man, keep the faith. You know, I think of the book of Philippians, and Paul praises the church in Philippi for their contribution, for their work in the gospel. And I'm very thankful for this congregation here in Billings for that. as promised, Mr. Simpson, do you want me to look right at you when I say this, or do you want me to address the whole congregation? I'll let you choose. Mr. Simpson is a guy that personally has helped me grow tremendously in Christ. Most of his challenges come from, you know, this area around here, and he's speaking. But he's a guy that challenged me to look into the Old Testament and to see those things. And man, I am so excited for you guys to go through the Tabernacle and the Christian, because I believe that by studying through that, it will open up the Old Testament for you. It will help you see things that God spoke long ago in that Old Testament that really are looking towards the New Covenant and really looking towards the church, the Kingdom of God. So, excited about that. Kevin Simpson is one of those guys that I know for me, he's often quoted, hopefully imitated, and never duplicated. Praise the Lord. Never duplicated. But, man, seriously, he's a guy that has personally helped me grow a lot. Man, I that last part was for you. Again, you started it. So, but, man, I'm telling you, the Assembly of the Saints is so important. And Lorenzo in his prayer brought that up about the encouragement. You know, we're exhorted in the Scripture to come together to assemble for the purpose of encouraging
one another. And, you know, that's what this is about. So take this time, this opportunity, enjoy the fellowship that we have in Christ, and encourage one another. Oh, and one more thing, Mike, if you drove Ford, you wouldn't have to spend so much time working on it. It wouldn't be an excuse to not be at the assembly. So I think I've covered them all now. Did I miss? Oh, and the Dallas Cowboys, you probably don't have to worry about missing them for the assembly for a Super Bowl for a while either. All right, Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for His own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful to be gathered together to assemble in Your name. Lord, we are so thankful for Christ Jesus our King, the great I Am, our Champion, the One that has gone before us, paved the way. Lord, we're thankful that that His life as a life of sacrifice was a life example. Lord, that through Him we have great strength, great power through the Spirit that dwells inside of us. Lord, it is encouraging and exciting to know that we are Your people, that we are priests for You. Lord, those that are sanctified, set apart, saints, to do Your purpose. Lord, I pray that You'll be with me as I preach this message, Lord, that it will encourage and strengthen the body here in Billings and to spur them on to love and good deeds. Lord, we thank You for the example of Christ Jesus our King, for His sacrifice, Lord, for His example, His life, and His Spirit, the Helper. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Man, I'll tell you, this is, as Justin said, I'm a little nervous, man. I'm used to preaching in my basement. And Mr. Simpson let me know on the way in the door that I'm supposed to have something around my neck when I preach. And I let him know, man, I don't even wear shoes when I preach normally because we're in my basement. So I'm a little bit out of my element right now. And as experience has taught me, one of the ways to get into your element when you're out of the element is engage people in laughter. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys a little joke right now, and hopefully we'll all relax a little bit. So this city slicker, he moves out to the country, and he goes down to the feed store. He buys 100 chicks, little baby chickens, and he takes them home, and he comes back the next week, and he buys 200. And leaves, and the same guy has helped him. He shows up a couple weeks later. It's the end of the season. There's no more chicks to be had almost, and he buys the last of them, 500 of them. And the guy that's helping him said, man, things must be going pretty good for you. You know, you've bought 700 of these chicks. The guy says, man, that's not the case. He says, I'm either planting them too deep or too far apart. That guy had no business being in the chicken business, did he? He didn't understand what was going on. He was out of his element. We've been working through the book of 1 Corinthians. And man, I'll tell you something. There are people that come to the church that have a problem of seeing who they are. They have a vision problem. You know, in the book of Corinthians, the first book of Corinthians actually deals with a lot of that stuff going through. They don't see things. They don't appraise things correctly. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. You know, the book of 1 Corinthians starts out, and in the first few verses, as he begins his greeting, he reminds them that they are saints by calling, holy ones, those set apart for the Lord's purpose. He goes through and promptly reminds them of some things that they need to get fixed. But man, they are saints by calling. You know, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, it starts out and it talks about Jesus. And it talks about those prophets of old. They spoke about Jesus. And in many portions, in many ways. And they talked about Jesus being the exact representation of Jesus, and of God, and of His glory. That's the same Spirit that is inside of each of us. The exact representation of the glory of God. See, but if you can't see that, if there is something that stops that, there's a vision problem that is there. They don't recognize it. The church in Corinth, They had that problem. They didn't understand who they were in Christ Jesus. You know, they had been obedient to the Scripture, but they didn't fully understand what that meant. And you can see that because as he works through the book of 1 Corinthians, he starts to address some things. I mean, in chapter 3, he calls them mere men. They're fleshly, carnal-minded. They are not walking according to the Spirit. They're still walking according to the flesh because they are not seeing things correctly. They are not appraising them rightly. They don't have them set apart in their own minds right. So they didn't know who they were. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. We'll read a little excerpt there. Jared found out I was going to be preaching this morning. He said, "You're not going to preach out of 1 Corinthians, are you?" I was like, "Well, kind of. So I'm not going to stay there, but I'm going to start there." Man, there's important stuff. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen. The things that are not, that He might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before the Lord. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." Skip down to chapter 2, verse 2. "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." See, the Apostle Paul, as he's talking here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's exhorting the church of Corinth to lift up their eyes, to see things as they really are, to not get distracted by the flesh, by the human side of things. See, they had a vision problem. All they saw was what in front of them. You know, you look at the beginning part of chapter 1, man, they got a problem. It was about who immersed who. Man, they were looking at things according to the flesh. They were looking at a fleshly hierarchy, rather than we're all part of one body in Christ. And if you know the book of 1 Corinthians, he's going to deal with that later on as well. That the unseemly members of the body are worthy of more honor. Man, he's really working on get your vision where it needs to be. Appraise the body rightly. Understand it. You know, Kevin talked about that this morning in the class. Man, to understand the importance of the body of Christ. Maybe it was in your prayer. I know you said it. You talked about it. Understand it. See it. Looking according to the flesh, not to the Spirit. See, if we operate under the flesh, we are just mere men. What's the record of man? Failure, isn't it? You know, the Scripture says it this way, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. That's the record of man. And that's why God does these things, and He tries to communicate, labors to communicate through His Word, who you are. You know, we started out in Deuteronomy chapter 14. He told them they were a kingdom of priests. In Deuteronomy 14, they didn't behave like it for a long, long time. Even the priests didn't behave like it for the most part. You know, that's Revelation chapter 1. You know what it calls you? A kingdom of priests. Who are you? You know, I know Kevin. Again, he's challenged me in many ways. You know, Kevin has a standard 3-point message, right? Know Jesus, know who you are in Christ, and know your purpose, right? Anybody here hasn't heard that message from Kevin? You probably haven't been here very long because it comes around pretty frequently. It's good. Hey, there's a reminder. You know why he does that? Because you know how often it shows up in the Scripture? Pretty frequently. Know who you are, know Jesus, and know your purpose. Man, it's important because if you don't keep those things in the forefront of your mind and you start to forget who you are, you're going to resort to your default setting, which was mere men. Got to change those things and get them right. God works on that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 28. Actually, Exodus 19. Exodus 19, verse 6. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. He's talking to the whole nation. I think I said that from Deuteronomy 14. I was getting ahead of myself in my notes. Kingdom of priests. That's what he calls the whole nation of Israel. Not just the priests, the whole nation. Not just the tribe of Levi, the whole nation. A kingdom of priests. No, it's important. Let's go to Exodus 28. He's going to give some instruction here for the priests, the tribe of Levi here. Start in verse 1. It says, then bring near to yourself Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. And you shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as priest to me. And these are the garments that they shall make: a breastplate, a breastpiece, and an ephod, and a robe, and a tunic of checkered work, a turban, and a sash. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister as priest to me. Garments for the priests. They had special clothing that set them apart. You know, there's some of you in your mind, you already know where I'm going. Man, set apart. Special garments. So if you're walking down the lane there and you come across one of these priests, are you going to recognize them? Special garments. They stood out. They were set apart. It was visually apparent that they were set apart for something special by the Lord. By their clothing. All these things are in the Old Testament for a reason. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. It said in the bulletin this morning that the message of reason was going to be by me. And if you spend some time with me, you'll know that as I work through things, I try and work through things in a reasonable fashion. I try and labor my way through those so that we can make those connections as we go. There's some of this that's going to be familiar to everybody in here. But man, we've got to make these connections as we go along. Galatians 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you who are immersed into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. It doesn't stop there. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7 and verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands, and they cry out with loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Those multitudes, notice what they have in common. And they are all clothed in white robes. That's you. That's me. That's the church. That's the complete church of all times. This is a picture as it looks forward. All of God's people gathered before, clothed in white. Set apart from the nations. Let's go to Revelation 16. Verse 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame. Let's go to Revelation 19. Verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. You couple those things together, man, you got a picture of God's people all clothed in fine linen. And that fine linen, it's clothed in Christ, and it's also the righteous acts of the saints. You know, and in your mind, we stop by there in Revelation 16, and we're told by Jesus, keep those garments on. You know, there should be a parable that comes to your mind. You know, I believe it's in Matthew 22. You know, the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding feast. And it goes throughout there. And that king, he's walking around and he comes across some guy. And he doesn't have any wedding clothes on. He says, where's your wedding clothes? And the guy is speechless and he gets cast out. Man, that's the righteous acts of the saints and being clothed with Christ. That is the picture that is given for the church. Clothed in white linen, those righteous acts. See, if you see yourself in any other way, you got a vision problem. Why do you think the Scripture calls us saints, 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 saints? So that we'll get the picture. So that we'll see, that we'll understand that that's who He's talking about. Us, saints, holy ones, set apart for God's purpose. Clothed with Christ. There should be no difference when we walk down the lane as when that priest in the Old Testament walked down the lane. They should know us by our clothes. And I'm obviously talking a little bit figuratively there, but as they observe our actions and our behaviors, they should know this guy's different. Set apart for God to do His purpose. Set apart. Man, how exciting is that? To understand that is God's expectation for us and has been from the beginning. For us to be those priests that serve God, clothed with Christ, righteous acts, set apart to do His work. You know, there's no question in any culture, in any time, you take the priest of any religious system and they're elevated to a position of honor. Do you see what God has done for us? You know, you look at all the other tribes of the nation of Israel. They got physical land. What did the tribe of Levi get? The Lord was their inheritance. Man, do you see this stuff? That's why I'm telling you, pay attention to this tabernacle class because it will open your eyes to the Old Testament to see how God has laid all these things out for us to see and to understand about ourselves. Important. You will only ever be the person that you see you are. You'll never be anything more than that. Vision problem. So far, we've managed to get through my introduction. To get to what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to lay the stage because it's so important. You know, this shirt. My daughter wanted me to wear it. You know, there are some that would judge me by this shirt. You know, when I was a young man, purple wasn't the color that guys wore. Not manly men, anyway. You know, hopefully we've moved away from that. I believe so, anyway. But you get judged by those garments, by the clothes you wear. Think about how important it is that we're clothed with those righteous acts. I have people that work for me. And when you have a variety of people that work for you from a variety of backgrounds, I work in a mechanical industry, where they're not always known for the best character. A lot of those people aren't. And there were some things that were said about me regarding an employee and how I addressed that employee. I never said a word. I had other employees come to my defense and said, there's no way he said that. And by the time that this went through about two rounds of it, the guy that said that I said those things said, yeah, you're right, he didn't exactly say it that way. I didn't have to say a word. They've observed what I say and what I don't say. And they know who I am by what I say and what I don't say. That should hold true for every one of us. That character should speak. I had unrighteous people defending my righteousness. That's true. I found out about it 2 weeks after it happened. Somebody came just said, just so you know, somebody said this about you, and this is how it was handled, and we took care of it. And by the end of it, they agreed that you didn't say that. That should be true of all of us. Right? They should observe that in our behavior and our character. They should know who we are by what we say and what we do. Those righteous acts of the saints. They should be able to pick us out. There's great encouragement for us in those things. Identified as priests of the Most High God by our clothing. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Familiar passage, again very important. Verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 2. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stones which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possessions, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." I read you that entire passage because I want to key in on a couple of words there. But overall, it is very important that you take away from it, you are precious before God. Holy nation, royal priesthood, people for God's own possession. He desires us, the Scripture says. Wants us. That's who we are in Christ. Again, that vision is so important to be able to see those things. Here's what I wanted to talk about in my introductions to get me to this point. That you may proclaim the excellencies. See, those priests have responsibilities. Again, it was brought up and talked about today in the class. You know, we think of the priestly duties, and a lot of it has to do with the sacrifice. I mean, that's what most people think about with the priests. They think of them taking and offering those sacrifices and doing some of those priestly things. But there is something that is so important that the priests do. And again, understand, we're priests. There's something that's so important, and sometimes I think it's overlooked and missed. See, those priests were the ones that were to teach the law. They were the ones that were supposed to teach the words of God. See, it's easy for us to think about things in our mind. It's easy to assign those duties and those responsibilities to the prophets only. But it wasn't. The priest's job was to make sure that they understood the law. Let's go back and take a look at that. Let's go to Ezekiel 44. We're going to read verse 15. We're going to kind of hop through a couple of verses here in Ezekiel 44, verse 15. "But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the sons of Israel went astray from me, shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer the fat and the blood, declares the Lord God." Verse 15 is so you understand who we're talking to. Let's go down to verse 23. "Moreover, they shall teach my people." Wow. "The difference between the holy and the profane or common, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." Whose job was it to teach them? The priest. You know, so think about it this way. I mean, and this is kind of how I think about things in my mind. There's that prophet. He goes out there and he's the fire and brimstone guy. Okay? He's the one that lights them up. He's the one that pushes, leans, things like that. And then there's somebody that comes behind that lays all that foundation work, that explains and works through all of those things. That's the priest. Man, they worked them through those things. Man, we think of prophets. I mean, we read there in 1 Kings 18, I think it was there today. We read some of the first part of the chapter. Man, we got the showdown on the mountain coming. Right? Elijah's going to take on the priests of Baal and Asherah. And man, I don't want to spoil it. Well, I will spoil it. Man, it goes bad for the priests of Baal. Elijah isn't out there and doesn't sit down with the law and explain the Ten Commandments to him, man. He puts it to him. Them priests, their job was to teach and instruct the people, bring them up, so they understood what God's plan was for the people. See, we live in a time where it's easy for us to compartmentalize things. And the Word of God is not to be compartmentalized. Those priests' job in the Old Covenant was to teach the people. Now, if He calls us priests in the New Covenant, and we read there in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we're to proclaim His excellencies, do you think that there is responsibilities for the priest to teach? Yes, there is. If He calls the whole nation of Israel priests, who does that leave out? We're all to teach. Again, it's easy to take and compartmentalize things, maybe because it's due to comfort or lack of experience, things like that. There is great things in the Scripture to help us understand, man, we have the ability in Christ Jesus to do these things. We have it. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 15 is the origin of this message. We're studying through the kings. We're actually on Wednesday nights in Wilson. We're going through the lineage of Jesus. And part of that is you're going through the kings. As we're working our way through this, there's a couple of things that jumped out at me. And this, we're going to talk about Asa here. And this didn't jump out to me until, we're going to go forward a little bit, but until we talked about Jehoshaphat. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 15 is talking about Asa. In his time, it says, and for many days Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law, or without law. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Jehoshaphat, his son, becomes king. He didn't do everything right in his life, but there are some things that he tried to do to set in order. Listen to this. Verse 7, we'll start. It says that in the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Ben-Hel, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them, the Levites, Shimei, Nathaniah, Zebediah, Asiel, Shemaratha, Jenatha, Abinijah, Tobijah, Tobadonijah, the Levites, and with them, Elishama, and Jehoram, the priests. And they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them, and they went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. That was the priest's job. Yes, it was to offer sacrifices. Yes, it was to do those things, but it was to teach the people. Think about if the priest's only job and the only thing they ever did was offer sacrifices, when would the people ever stop doing what they weren't supposed to be doing? They wouldn't have any instruction about it. They wouldn't know what they're supposed to do. They wouldn't know who they are. See, part of the priest's job was to remind them, you are a holy nation. You are a nation of priests. The Lord, your God, is your possession. That was their job. What was more important? Them offering sacrifices or them teaching them who God was? You can't separate those two things. But again, it's easy to take things and compartmentalize them. You know? You guys in Billings, you know, you got the hired gun. Luke knows I call him that a little bit, joke with him a little bit. You know? Hey, it's easy to think, hey, that's our preacher. That's the one that teaches. That's not what the Scripture says. Scripture says you're a priest. It's your job. That includes him. That includes Kevin. That includes myself. Every one of us, we are to be teaching priests. How are they going to know unless they're taught, the Scripture says? How are they going to know? Man, do you understand how big of a part of a mission you actually get to play in this? You think God put His Spirit that contains all of Jesus, the exact representation of the glory of God inside of you, to do nothing? That makes no sense. He has equipped us with the greatest power that this universe has ever known to do nothing. No, man, it's for us to teach, to be the example for those around. So that when they walk by us in the lane, they know that's a priest of the living God. Teaching priests. This is an exciting piece of Scripture. I can't tell you how many times I read through that. And it wasn't until we went through it back to back, week to week, that I'm like, wait a minute. No teaching priest. Teaching priest. And they got some stuff right with the teaching priest. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 24. Verse 2. Joash, boy king, 7 years old. Verse 2. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Verse 15. Now when Jehoiada reached a ripe old age, he died. He was 130 years old at his death. They buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done well in Israel and to God and his house. And after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. And they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols, so that wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guilt. There you go. You want to see cause and effect? There you go. The absence of a teaching priest, the absence of a priest that the king actually listened to, the nation went into depravity. Do you think there needs to be teaching priests in the kingdom of God? You bet. How about throughout this physical land that we live in? You think that the President of the United States inclines his ear to the teaching priests of God? No, in fact, I think he probably listens to, how does this say here? The officials? Man, we need to be those teaching priests. God designed us that way. He built us for a purpose. In fact, let's go take a look at that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Created for good works. Made on purpose for good works. And be those teaching priests. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1. We'll close here. First Corinthians 1, verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That is the mechanism that God has chosen for salvation to go to the world. The foolishness of the message preached. And in case you're wondering whose responsibility that is, you must not have tuned in for the last 45 minutes, because it's ours. We are the teaching priests. It is our job. Now here's the good news. Some of you probably worked different jobs in your life, and you may have worked at a job that you were absolutely ill-equipped and didn't have the tools to do it. That's not the case here. You have the tools. You have the entirety of God's Word right here. You want to know anything? Scripture tells us that in this book, all things pertaining to life and godliness are found. All things. That means you got the tools. You don't go to the toolbox, open the drawer, and there ain't nothing there. It's there. Now, you might have to know what you're looking for, and that's where you got brothers and sisters that'll help you. But it's there. You got the tools. How about the ability? Man. The Creator of all things makes His abode with you. Man. Awesome. You talked about goosebumps right now. Man. How cool is that? God lives in you. He doesn't expect you to do something that you can't do. He expects you to do something that you are equipped to do. I'm going to make one final plug. Be at the assembly of the saints. There's some equipping for the work of service that goes on here. That's what the assembly is designed for. To equip you for the work of service. Does that sound like that? What priests do is serve? Equipping for the work of service. Be at the assembly. I'm going to use a mechanical analogy for you. Being at the assembly is going to help you to recognize what tool you need so when you open the toolbox, you can grab it and use it. Man, that's what the purpose of the assembly is for, so they built up so you can go do this work. It is in you to do this. You are made for this purpose. I hope you're excited, because I am. I'm telling you, there was a big part of me, even to this morning, where I was like, man, I wish I hadn't told Luke yes. I'm tired. But man, this is burning inside of me. Man, what a great message. Teaching priests, you are set apart for a purpose. It ain't to fill up a physical building, it's to be part, an instrumental part of a spiritual building. Teaching priests. Thank you for your attention.